Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jules.
Good evening, everyone. This is Duchess, and it's 5 p.m., and it's time for Inside Matters Talk with Duchess and Jules. Jules is still on vacation, so I saw her yesterday. She brought a bunch of little children by the studio. She was dropping them off. They had 2 weeks in North Carolina, and she was bringing them back to their mommy and daddy. And she said she was going to pop in within, a couple of shows. She's trying to decide if she wants to go off and do Wonderful Jewel type things or if she wants to still stay being a co-host. We're still looking for a co-host, so anyone out there want to hang out with me on the air 2 Sundays out of the month, please get in touch with me. Contact me at duchessontheair@gmail.com. That's duchessontheair@gmail.com. And let me know that you're interested, and we can chit-chat over the phone and get to know one another and see how things work out. We have an interesting show this evening. I've always wanted to know more about this topic. We're going to be talking with Karen Keyes. She's going to give us a handle on what quantum touch and distance healing is all about. And I call her the Crystal Lady out here in Virginia. I get crystals from her, and she's a wonderful person to chit-chat with and to talk with about those types of things that Well, I should have talked to her a couple of weeks ago. I had this big knee blowout and had to go to the doctor. And, you know, when you go to these doctors, they want to give you all kinds of cortisone shots. If I had known an easier way to get this healing done in my knee, I probably would have taken that route. But I was in a hurry. Tell me, have any of you out there seen the movie Divergent? I was looking at the movie. I saw it when it first came out, and then I ordered it so that I could watch it again because there's something very, very, very interesting in how the movie set up these communities called factions and how they had the Dauntless faction. These were the brave ones. These were like the army, the soldiers of the communities. And then there was the Abnegation faction. These were the selfless people. They went around and they helped everyone who was in need. And then they had the Candors. The Candors, they were like honest to to a fault almost, but that's all they did was they told the truth, whether you wanted to hear it or not. These were the Candors. Then there was Amity, the Amity faction. They were the peaceful ones. They were playful. They were kind. Excuse me. And then there were the Erudite. These were your highly intellectuals and serious folk. And I noticed that in watching this movie, there's always a group of people, no matter how you try to be fair about bringing people together and having them live harmoniously on the face of this earth, there is always a group that wants to take over everything, because even though they're saying that they do not want to have any one particular group ruling and taking charge and creating havoc, they're the ones that rise up and take control and create havoc. Now, why did I mention that today? I have no idea. I guess it's because the state of affairs is going on planet Earth. You know, we talk about what's happening on planet Earth and if there's anything we can do with our own energy cells in order to bring peace and harmony on the face of this earth. And I guess that's a concern of mine, and that's why we have this show, Inside Matters, because it is. It's what's inside of us that matters, and it's what's inside of us that we project outside of us, which causes everything in our reality. So that's about, we'll do the animal cards later on in the show, but I want to bring Karen on because she has a lot to say, and I want to hear what she has to say, and I have some questions. So if you have some questions for her when she's on the air, please feel free to call the number 347-324-3030, and if you press 1, then we'll bring you on the air so you can have a question or two with her. Let's do a little introduction here. Let's see. I went on her website and I got some excerpts from her bio. And it says that she learned to do Reiki in 2000 and became a Reiki master in 2004. She attended massage school in 2001, but chose not to be certified or licensed. In 2003, she was introduced to Quantum Touch. And in 2005, she became a certified practitioner and later that year, a certified instructor. She has a beautiful healing room in her home, and I visited her home before, where she can do work on clients. And she has a formal living room, which offers comfortable seating for gatherings. Karen defines herself as an earth mother, loving plants and animals. Over the years, she has had horses, dogs, and cats, and fish, and birds, and rabbits, and turtles, and lizards, and she loves gardens, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. She also loves arts and crafts and watercolor, painting, sewing, quilting, and she has a thing for old vehicles. She says she believes that's because she grew up with a dad who was a mechanic. Beading, embroidery, she has a wealth of things that she enjoys. One of the things I do know that she does that I didn't see on her bio is that she likes to make jewelry with the crystals that she has out there. So without further ado, let me introduce everyone to Karen Keyes, and she's going to talk to us about quantum touch, distance healing, and how about a little bit of crystal work.
Hello.
Open up the mic and say, hey, Karen, how you doing?
Just fine. I'm blushing. I didn't know you were going to read all that on there.
Yeah, you're a phenomenal woman.
Well,
how
are
you been?
I have been wonderful.
How you been?
It's been such a beautiful day today.
Mm.
Just sitting here, I'm watching the butterflies dancing around the butterfly bush and there's hummingbirds buzzing around and deer down in the field. It's just a beautiful day.
You got your deer out also?
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of does and their fawns. And I have apple trees in my yard, so I have a constant flow of deer coming through to clean up the fruit as it falls.
Mm, I bet that's beautiful. Real nice.
Yeah.
I bet that's real peaceful. You know, I've been out to your spot before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us about this quantum touch stuff. What is the difference between the quantum touch and the Reiki? There is a difference because one is one and the other is the other. So, you know, I know a lot of people know about Reiki, but so many of us have never heard of quantum touch. Can you explain the difference?
Well, let me just start with the basics. Everyone has an energy field. Everyone has an energy system. Just like you have a respiratory system, a circulatory system, you also have an energy system. And the energy flows through your body and flows through your chakras. And it's just that in our culture, we aren't really taught to be aware of it. And
mm-hmm.
when you take Reiki, you learn to channel this universal life force energy through your body to bring balance into your energy centers and to allow the energy to flow out through your hands or any other body part and allow to share that with other people for the benefit of them for healing or other purposes. This is a natural process. Everyone is born with the ability to do this. The thing about Reiki is that it is a very traditional Japanese modality. And being Japanese and being very traditional, When I was taught Reiki, I was taught that pretty much that I had to promise to do it exactly the way I was taught. And when I teach it, I have to teach it exactly the way I was taught to teach it, because this
right.
is the way of the being traditional. However, when you start doing energy work, it takes on a life of its own. You start to experience things, and you start to learn things, and you go, oh, well, when I do this, this happens, and you incorporate your own techniques and your own ways into doing it. I've met people who have actually intuited energy work without having any formal training. And, you know, it's a very natural process, just like breathing. It's very easy. With quantum touch, with Reiki, it's very passive. You basically lay your hands on the person or above the person. You don't actually have to touch them. And you just set an intent in your mind for the energy to flow. And then you let your mind get out of the way and just let the energy do what it will.
Mm-hmm.
With quantum touch, on the other hand, you don't take that passive approach. You do a breathing technique which actually amplifies the energy. And you do a body focusing meditation, where you visualize the energy flowing through your body, and you can direct the energy out to pinpoint exactly where you want it to go.
Mm.
So it's much more active in that regard. You're breathing, you're focusing, you're bringing in a lot of fun techniques with it too, like the what you love most technique, the colors and the vibrations and other things that you can pull into the energy as you're running it. And with Reiki, there is a pretty much like a ceremony you have to go through, or you have to close your eyes, and the teacher does this thing and blows the Reiki symbols into your aura, which actually I've known people that have had the aura photography, where you get your aura photographed, and the Reiki symbols can be seen in those photographs. So when the Reiki master says she's blowing those symbols into your aura, she's really blowing them into your aura. But it's a very solemn, sacred sort of ceremony. And with quantum touch, you don't have that. It's just, hey, this is a natural process. We're all born with this ability to do this. And I think the world right now needs more energy, people being aware of how their energy affects other people. Like, have you ever known somebody that's like very angry or, you know, self-contained, and they're like, well, I can think all the negative thoughts I want to, and it's not affecting other people. But they don't realize how their thoughts do. Yeah, your thoughts do. You're like a little radio transmitting tower with your mind and your heart transmitting out vibrations into the universe. And the universe is like a mirror. It's going to project back to you whatever you send out. So, you know, if you're sending out loving thoughts and good energy, that's what's going to come back to you. And people are going to pick up on this. And this energy going out into the universe can be seen in the spiritual world. It's like rays of light going out into the darkness. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to take your gift and be able to share it with other people. That when there is a situation that calls for it, we can, as healers, we don't get attached to the outcome. We always send the energy for the highest good. We don't send it because we want this person to be healed and to live. Perhaps the highest good might be in that person crossing over. But by sending the energy, we are supporting them in their choice to do whatever is in their highest good. So we have to let go of any attachment to the outcome. And
question. A couple of weeks ago, Deepak Chopra had this huge world global meditational healing activity. And there was a call to people all over the earth to come together to heal for peace. Doing things like this, do they really work?
They do. there's a sort of a sense of global consciousness. You know, when you have one person sitting in a room, you know, meditating, you have that one bit of energy. You have 10 people in the room, you have more than the combined energy of 10 people. It sort of becomes more when you have a bigger group of people. And Lord knows this world needs as much love and prayers and peace and goodwill and thoughts going out into the universe as it can get right now. But there's a lot of weird stuff going on. And, you know, I try really hard not to be judgmental of what other people think and do. But it does, you know, bring me a lot of sadness to see people hurt each other unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the promise, you know, that we've all been told of this new age that's coming will be an age of peace where, you know, we're all going to, you know, not be fighting with each other. And that's something I look forward to, but it's like, when are we going to get there?
Right,
you
right.
Know? But, yeah, with the quantum touch actually has an interesting history. It was developed by a gentleman named Bob Rasmussen, who was an intuitive, and he was doing a presentation one day, and at the presentation was this gentleman named Richard Gordon, who became so enamored with what he saw that he became a protege, and he basically picked Bob's mind, you know, well, what are you thinking of when you do this? How do you do this? What are you doing now? What are you thinking about now? And he basically became his understudy. And when Bob passed away, he asked Richard, he said, don't let this die with me. Keep it going. So Richard Gordon kind of, you know, carried things on, and he has been, you know, promoting the quantum touch modality ever since. And Richard always says, you don't need someone's permission to love them. You don't need someone's permission to pray for them. And you don't need someone's permission to send them loving, healing energy, as long as you're sending it to them for their highest good.
Right.
So, you know, that's another difference between Reiki and quantum touch. Is with Reiki, you're supposed to ask permission. May I send you this energy? And if they don't want you to send energy, you're not supposed to send it. With quantum touch, you don't really have to ask. You can, but you don't have to, because it's all coming from a place of love. And it's just a wonderful, beautiful gift to share with people. What I also found was when I started doing quantum touch and I started doing the breathing techniques and stuff, I started getting all these woo-woo things happening. I mean,
really?
I started seeing things and hearing things and experiencing things that I never had experienced doing the Reiki. And what I also found was that by amplifying the energy and focusing it, I could accomplish in 5 minutes of quantum touch what might take me an hour of Reiki, if I'm lucky. Because with quantum touch, it's so unique and it works so fast. It's like I've actually had my hands like on somebody's knee before, and I felt the bones shifting and moving under my hand. It's really cool.
Yeah, they say that's possible that because the body is a mind itself. They call it the body mind, whereas every molecule and every cell in our body has its own thought process, and it has its own thinking mechanism. And so when you're sending energy to that particular area, then the mindset of those cells and those organs begin to respond.
To respond
as though it's answering whatever it is your energy is saying to it. It's responding and it's thinking and it's answering. I've heard that even cook, you know, when a person has, what's that thing, scoliosis, it can, the spine can begin to be with the energy shifted.
Yes.
And that can be spooky to some people, you know. Oh, yeah, well, right, my body's mine.
As a healer, is that this is not my energy. This is just me channeling universal life force energy. And this universal life force energy is out there for all of us. And when I channel it into another individual, what's going to happen is their body is going to do with that energy according to the body's needs. The body knows what it needs to be in balance. If I'm sending energy into their big toe and the body says, well, you know, yeah, the toe is hurt, but we've got another situation going on up here in the shoulder that really needs that energy more, it's going to take that energy and direct it up there. The body has its own intelligence. Yeah. So we can't really control, you know, the outcome. All we can do is, and for me it's a very intuitive process. As even where I want to put my hands, I get drawn to certain areas that I feel need to be, you know, worked on in certain ways. And it's also through this intuitive process that I got into the crystals, because I was going, wow, you know, I would see this image in my head of crystals laid out a certain way. And I'd go, oh, I have those crystals. Let me try this, you know. And I'd lay them out, and I'd go, wow, that was pretty cool. And, you know, it was through this process that kind of got me into that, using crystals as tools for the energy healing. And I also sometimes I use essential oils and other things. So it's for me, it's been a very intuitive process, and it's something that I just absolutely love to share. When I was a certified instructor, I you know, absolutely loved teaching the class. I am no longer a certified instructor, although I do teach energy healing. It's a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it's not the two-day long, you know, seminar. I can do it in one day and charge a lot less than I used to, and I'm not limited to teaching from a certain curriculum. So it's a little bit better, you know, for people that have to drive a long way to come to it. You can pretty much get the basics in one day, and by the end of the day, you walk out and you're able to run energy. So that's the gift, is to be able to learn how to do this and then go do it. And once you do it, you know, as that energy channel starts to open up, the more energy you run, the more it opens up, and the more energy comes through, and it's really a wonderful feeling when you first do it. And you can feel that energy pouring out of your hands like a faucet turned on, and there's nothing there. You can't see anything, but you can feel it, and it's really cool. So, yeah.
Back to, I want to share something with you to confirm what you were saying about, you know, the body knows what it wants to do and where it wants to heal and how it wants to heal if you give it the proper support that, you know, it's seeking. My granddaughter, the 3-year-old granddaughter, she was in North Carolina. She was playing with her siblings in a chair, and they were spinning around, and she'll tell you, she flew out the chair, and what happened was she broke her clavicle, a collarbone. And when my daughter took her for her orthopedic appointment, and she's 3 going on 4, the doctor said, there's really not much we can do for that, but it's not necessary, because a child at this age, it's going to heal on its own. And he basically said to my daughter, the bone, although it's broken, it knows where it wants to be, and it knows how it's supposed to be, and it will heal on its own, because it will automatically say, well, I'm not supposed to be a piece of me hanging here, me over here. It's going to just shift, and it's going to put itself right where it's supposed to be for it to heal the proper way. I found that very, very interesting. Very interesting. Because you can't put a cast on a clavicle.
That's true. That's the whole thing. My son had the same injury, and all he could do was, you know, put his arm in a sling to kind of mobilize it. But that was it. You know, there wasn't a whole lot that they could do, and you just
that's
have to
exactly
let it.
What they said.
Heal where it will.
And he said because of her age and the softness of her bones, it's not going to cause her any type of damage. It's just going to go and connect right back the way it's supposed to. And that's, and mm-hmm. he said the sling that they put on her was so that people were aware not to pull her on that arm, not to mess with that arm, you know, to make mm-hmm. just to mm-hmm. make everyone aware that there is some injury over here. It wasn't helping mm-hmm. to make it go back in place. It was just there to make people aware that it was a hurt, mm-hmm. an ouchie yep. over there. But
So what else do you want to know about quantum touch? Oh, distance healing. Oh, wow.
I don't know because I don't know any much about quantum touch. I don't know the questions I could be asking about quantum touch. Now, if we have any callers out there, I see the line, the switchboard is lit up, you know, because you got some folks listening to you. I want you to know this, Karen. They're interested in what you got to say because, you know, the lights are popping up all over the place. Anyone have a question for Karen? The number is 347-324-3030. Now, if you're already on the line, then if you want to speak to, you want to ask Karen a question, just press 1, and we'll open up the lines for you. We'll see you there and know that you want to ask a question. But I don't know, oh, when we talk about quantum touch, now you say, okay, this may sound like a very strange question, and I don't want to offend anyone out there, but there are a lot of people that I see, they say they do Reiki and they do the quantum touch. And these people that say that they do these types of things, they don't look very healthy to me. They look like they have some issues that they're dealing with, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, or like they have some kind of crippling something. And then they're going to say that they want to put hands on me to heal me. What is the difference? And you being able to heal me in your state and you not being able to heal yourself. You understand
there
what I'm saying, what I'm asking?
Yes, I do. I hear you. And there is a school of thought out there, the healer, heal thyself school of thought, that says that in order to be a healer, you have to be completely healed yourself. But what I have found is that not necessarily true. It can be somebody mm-hmm. with an ankle injury who is suffering from an ankle injury that is their energy is best attuned to helping other people heal their ankle injuries. They may not be able to heal their own, but they can heal mm-hmm. other people. And I can't explain that, but I do know that we all have our issues. And how they manifest physically is just, it's part of our stuff, and everybody's mm-hmm. got their own stuff. And just because somebody may not be in perfect health doesn't mean that they are not wonderful with the energy healing. And what we've also found is that some people are very good at healing cancers, and other people are very good with knitting bones, and other people might be very good with aligning the spine. So, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's energy is kind of a little different, a little different vibration to it or a different intention that's put into it. And so, mm-hmm. you know, no two people are going to be exactly the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing about quantum physics is that it does use the principles of quantum physics, and it uses the principles of resonance and entrainment. When you mm-hmm. have two things that are vibrating at the same frequency, like two violins that are tuned to exactly the same vibration, and you strum one, the other one will vibrate in resonance to the first one. That's resonance. Mm-hmm. Entrainment is when you have two things that are vibrating at different frequencies. And if the higher frequency is the stronger one, then the lower frequency will actually increase in vibration to match the higher. Or if the lower frequency is stronger, the higher vibration will decrease in energy to in vibration to meet the lower, or they'll meet somewhere in the middle. And where I've seen this happen is, for example, this lady, I met her one time, she said, oh, my brother used to do this healing stuff, and his wife would get a headache, and he'd put his hands on her, and her headache would go away, but he'd get it. Now, that's a perfect example of reverse entrainment. He was giving her energy. Her headache would go away, but his energy was coming down, and he was taking it on. So the purpose of quantum touch, part of the breathing that we do, is to keep our personal energy very high. Because when we go into a healing situation, we want our energy to be up really high so that the other person who needs the healing and whose energy is a bit lower than ours will actually entrain up to that higher level of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the quantum aspect of why it's called quantum physics.
Right. Well, that's what I've always been a little concerned about when someone wants to my concern would be I don't want you tapping into my energy and you pulling my energy from me, you know, all in, I guess, someone saying that they're going to help me with my knee, so to speak, but they have so many physical issues of their own that by tapping into my, I may be talking off the wall. I don't know what I'm talking about now. But this has been a concern of mine, and I'm glad I have you on the air so I can ask about this. When I allow somebody to do energy work on me, I don't want them to be pulling my energy from me. Can you tell if someone is doing that?
Absolutely.
Would I be able to tell?
Yes. There's a wonderful book out there called Hands of Light. It's written by a woman named Barbara Brennan, and she grew up being able to see energy. And it's one of the cornerstones of the energy world, you know, of people. It's been out there since, like, a long time ago. And she even has, like, a four-year college down in Florida. You can go down there and get a four-year degree in her version of energy healing. But it's wonderfully researched and tied into science, and I love some of her techniques. I've actually adapted some of them where you can go outside and teach someone how to actually see the universal life force energy, and that's really cool. But she teaches in her books there's four things you can do with your energy. You can push your energy, you can pull energy, you can block energy, or you can allow energy. And I'm sure, I don't know if you've ever heard of the term energy vampires. But I'm sure you've been around people that if you're around them long enough, you just feel drained.
Mm-hmm.
And for one way or another, they have like a sucking, you know, nature that just kind of sucks you out of all your energy. And you walk away from them just feeling like, oh, my God, I need to go take a nap, you know, because you just feel drained. And
they don't have to be doing it intentionally.
Absolutely. I even knew of a lady who was a massage therapist, and she gave beautiful massages. But after she gave the massage, you just kind of felt like you couldn't move. I mean, literally no energy. And I don't know if, you know, subconsciously she was using that as a way to draw energy out, or if you just got so totally relaxed that you kind of went into an altered state or what. But
right.
You know, there are people out there who will intentionally, you know, try to take your energy. And when you become aware of this, then you can go into one of the defenses of blocking it or whatever. But then you get into her second book, which is called Light Emerging, and she talks about interactions between people where one person is trying to suck energy and the other one's trying to block, or one person's trying to push their energy and the other one's trying to block. And she goes into all these different scenarios, and it's always like a lose-lose situation. But then she goes in and says, well, what if person number one, instead of trying to block their energy, what if they just sent them love and light? Well, all of a sudden their energy needs are met. They don't have this need to suck your energy. The lines of communication are open. Person number A feels good that they've helped person number B, and it's a win-win situation. Everybody wins. Something good comes out of it. And then she goes through all the different 16 scenarios and shows how by sending love and light, it completely transforms the situation from a lose-lose to a win-win. And I've actually put some of her training along those lines into effect in day-to-day life, and it works in amazing, amazing ways. It can transform an extremely negative situation into something that is just beyond your belief positive.
So I can see that happening.
It does work. Yeah. So, you know, when you're just driving down the road and just think about the thoughts that you're emanating from your head, why not send love and light instead of sending, you know, fear and doubt and anger and you know, whatever, frustration.
Believe it or not, Karen, when I do that and I'm driving down the road and I do that, the day seems to pop out brighter. The trees, the leaves seem to glisten just a little bit, you know, sparkly. And yeah, I can see sending out energy and touching other things and making other things transform into a brighter energy space.
Well, Carolyn Mace wrote a book called Why People Don't Heal and How They Can. And in there she tells a story about a woman who was driving around the Beltway, the D.C. Beltway, and she was involved in an accident. She was pretty badly hurt, and she left her body. And she was floating up above, and she looked down, and she saw her body in the car, and she knew she was badly hurt. And as her soul, you know, kind of was viewing the whole situation from a higher perspective, she became aware of all the cars that had backed up behind this accident and all of the anger and frustration that was being directed at her as having, oh, God, I'm going to be late for work now, blah, 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 blah. And everybody was angry and frustrated. And she said way in the back of this long line of cars, she became aware of this ribbon of rainbow-colored light wafting over the tops of the cars, coming closer and closer. And it got up to her car, and it went into her car, and it went into her body. And she knew that someone back there was praying for her. She followed the rainbow of light, the ribbon of light back, and she saw the license plate of a car where this woman was praying. Well, after she recovered from the accident, she went to a friend of hers who was a police officer and asked him to please trace that and give her the person's name and address so she could, you know, thank them. And I guess he kind of broke the rules, but he did. And she went and she thanked this woman for praying for her. And it was just made me aware of how when you send out prayers or good intentions or love out into the universe, this is seen on a spiritual level. And it does have an effect. It does make a difference. And even though you may not see it, you may not feel it, just knowing that it does, it's the ripple effect. You throw that little pebble into the pond, and the ripples just keep going out. And every time you do a random act of kindness, you know, for somebody, you do something good out there, it has its effects. So I always try to, you know, encourage people to do something outrageously beautiful every day. You know, do something kind, do something nice, do something loving. And make a choice, a conscious choice, to be in a place of love and to be in a place of light. And you were talking about what can we do to make a difference in the world. Well, one of the things you can do is to bring light and love into your body. And whether you do that through prayer, through meditation, through doing the energy work, the more light you bring into your body, the more you will vibrate. And the higher, you know, your frequency will be. And if you bring your vibration up, everybody around you is going to be brought up as well. So it does make a difference.
Well, okay. What was that? That was quantum touch, or we've moved into distance healing?
Oh, let's talk about
that.
Because
that was a distance
healing.
If that woman was in one car way behind in the back praying for someone way up in front in an accident, that was some healing.
Well, it is a form of healing. Prayers can be very healing. Quantum touch, we basically visualize the person that we want to send the energy to, and we miniaturize them, visualize them very tiny, put them in the cup palm of our hands and kind of cup our hands together and put this person in between the palms of our hands and then run the energy into that person in the miniature form. And what will happen is the universe will take the energy that's being directed into that miniature version and it just gets transmitted to the individual. I had a friend recently who had open-heart surgery. And I had a lot of people, I had requested them to center energy before, just before and during the operation. And she said she could actually feel the energy that was coming to her before the anesthesia kicked in. So, you know, people can feel it. I know it's valid. It's there. And I've also, you know, with the distance healing, I have a healing group and email group, and people will say, can you please send out a distance healing request for so-and-so? And I'll send out this to, it's about 100 names on the list, and ask, you know, all kinds of people from all walks of life to, you know, just take a minute and send some distance healing to an individual who really needs it. And, you know, it's always rewarding when you get a positive feedback that the person is doing better and that they, you know, we all need a little extra energy from time to time. Because sometimes,
we do.
You know, when we're in that low state of dis-ease, you know, we can't always, you know, generate the level of energy we need to heal ourselves. And to have someone there to help us along. That's what we're here for. We're here to help each other, you know. We're all climbing the same mountain. We've just got to help each other along the way.
Well, we're getting ready to come to a close of the show pretty soon, and I want to talk about your crystals.
You want to get your
crystals in there, you know, at least, you know, a little bit. Tell us about crystals and what crystals are good for, and give us some names of crystals that can do good stuff for different things.
Okay. There are a gazillion books out there on crystals and crystal healing, and I don't try to recreate the wheel. You know, I tell people, read every book you can. This book will say, hey, this crystal's good for this. Another book will say it's good for that. But the bottom line is you have to hold that crystal in your hand and ask yourself, how do I feel? How does this crystal make me feel? Does it make me feel calm? Does it make me feel centered? Does it help me feel grounded? Does it give me energy? Does it make me sleepy? You know, what does it do? And then you work with that. And for me, it's been very intuitive because people say, well, what's this stone good for? And I'm like, I don't know. Here's the book. Look it up. I can tell you what it's good for me. I mean, I can use it for a certain thing. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work that way for everybody.
That's just true, like with
obsidian. I had a lady one time. I was doing an advanced class, and I was doing a practice session, and I had a couple pieces of snowflake obsidian in my pocket. And I just sort of was inspired when she was laying down and I was working on it. I said, here, take these and hold them in your hand. And she held one in each hand. And so I'm doing the practice work on her. And for about maybe 5 minutes, I looked out and there's just tears streaming down her face. And she, after the session, she sits up and she goes, what the heck are these things? And I was just like, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't realize. And she goes, I don't know why I'm crying. But what I found out later was the energy of obsidian is it acts as a catalyst. It has an energy like if you've got something you've got to release and it's like, okay, let's just get this over with and be done with it because we want to move on. That's the energy of the obsidian. It's like pulling a Band-Aid off. Just do it, go, be done with it, and move on instead of sitting there agonizing over each little hair that gets pulled. So with the obsidian, I've had people on my table that you can just see their lips trembling because they're getting ready to cry, and they're like, I'm not going to cry. And you say, oh, here, hold this piece of obsidian. And all of a sudden, they're just like blubbering. They're like, ah. And you're like, that's great. That's wonderful. I love it, you know, because I like to support people when they have emotional releases. It's good for them. It gets the energy moving, and I honor their tears because it takes a lot for a person to cry. They have to really trust you to cry in your presence. And for them to feel safe enough to do that
that's
is really
true.
It's a good thing. And as a healer, that's all we really can do is create that sacred space in which an individual does their own healing. I mean, we facilitate it, we run the energy, but the bottom line is they have to do their own healing. And that's the other aspect of quantum touch, is it's not just passive. I've had people get on the table, they're like, fix me. And I'm like, okay, that's how quantum touch works. It's like, how can I help you fix yourself? You're going to be involved
right.
in this. You're going to give me feedback. You're going to tell me what you're feeling. As I run energy over here, you're going to tell me what sensations you're having, because that helps me to know what's going on. So I need the feedback, and I need your interaction, and I need to be able to communicate, whereas with Reiki, it's very silent. With quantum touch, there's actually talking, and that is kind of disconcerting when you go to Reiki energy, healing circles. They're like, shh, we're doing Reiki over here. And I'm like, what? Okay, I'll go out in the hallway. And then another cool aspect of it is all of the energy work, where you give energy and pour energy out of your hands or other body part to share energy. That's all the yang aspect of energy work. It's about the giving, the outpouring, the outflowing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a very yin aspect of it. Through the Quantum Touch organization, they also teach a modality called core transformation, and it is the yin aspect of energy work, and it does not involve touching people. It does not involve running energy, but I have found that to be, in some cases, a lot more powerful than the quantum touch. And it's just, you have to kind of know when to use one technique and when to use the other. But in some cases, it's actually preferred. So there's, when I was doing quantum touch, I was like, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world. I just want to run more energy and ramp it up and escalate it and get even more energy and more and more. But then I began to realize, okay, tap out no energy, and we just kind of go into like this kind of Spock mind meld thing where we connect with the body and we can go, oh, now I understand what's going on. Okay, I understand why the body is doing what it's doing, and let's just support it and help it to shift naturally, slowly, gently, lovingly. So it's a whole different approach, and that was kind of mind-blowing. I'm like, what? That's only half of the coin? There's another whole aspect to this? I'm like, I got to learn this. And that was pretty cool.
So, how often do you have guests out to your sacred space?
Well, I host a healing circle here once a month. It's in Northern Virginia. We shifted it. We called it the Holistic Healing Circle because I didn't want to just have quantum touch. I wanted to be able to embrace all different healing modalities. And some months we talk about essential oils, and some months we'll talk about just different aspects. We've had people here that work with, end-of-life hospice situations. We've had different people coming in. We had a lady demonstrate the Eden energy healing work. Oh, that was pretty awesome. We had another guy come in, and he's an author, and has his own energy stuff that he does. And, oh, man, he blew us all away. We were just absolutely amazed. And he stayed here until every person who attended had received a session with him. And it was just absolutely incredible. So there's a lot of other cool stuff going on out there. And we like to just sort of, smorgasbord, explore different things at different times. We've talked about healing mushrooms, and we've talked about using kombucha and different kinds of, herbal remedies and things, and how people can make a lot of their own herbal concoctions and stuff.
What's the best way for people to contact you? By your website or?
Yeah, there's, I have my energy work website, which is the kkheavenlyhands.com, And then there's the crystal website, which is newagestones.com. And then there's the meetup group, which you can probably just do a search in Northern Virginia for the Northern Virginia Holistic Healing Circle. And we meet out here once a month on the second Saturday of every month, and that's just free and open to the public. And get in touch, and if you have any questions, I'd love to talk about it.
Well, you know I'm going to talk to you again, and I would keep you talking and talking and talking if I didn't have people waiting for me to do an energy card on these animals. Now,
oh, I love that.
You're going to do the focus. Since I don't have a Jules here, you're going to call the energy. You're going to call the energy and see which animal pops up for you. So just call the energy and focus on the energy and say whatever you want to say to pull that card right up on out of.
But you're going to actually pull the card out, right?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you what it is.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me focus here.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, you thought I was waiting for you to say ready. Okay,
I'm sorry, yeah. Okay, what is it?
That's okay, I got it. You got elk, E-L-K,
ooh,
elk.
Cool.
And elk is symbolic of stamina. That's the energy elk holds. And let me see what it says here. Elk medicine teaches that pacing yourself will increase your stamina. Elk medicine people may not be the first ones to arrive at a goal, but they always arrive without being burnt out. Okay. If you have picked elk medicine, you may be telling yourself to seek the company of your own gender for a while. You may need a support group to align yourself with the stamina of the warrioress energy that you are a part of. This communication with others of your own sex allows you to air your feelings in safety and to get feedback from others who have had the same experiences. You may need a new sense of community, communication in unity. Elk could also be telling you to look at how you are holding up physically to the stresses in your life, and to pace yourself so that you maintain an equilibrium of energy over the distance you plan to cover. Vitamins or high-energy foods may be one solution, along with some personal quiet time for replenishment. And that's for everyone in our listening audience. Okay?
Beautiful. Awesome.
Karen, isn't that, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that for me.
Yep, I think we all did.
Right.
August has been quite the roller coaster month.
It has. I do this energy powerhouse website, and I look at what the energy flow is for each month, and it said that August was going to be one of those months that's going to try you. Try you. Give me that.
Well,
it's been a rough month.
We're halfway through, so tempest fugit.
August is on focus and boundaries, keeping, focus and boundaries. That's what the power forecast was for the month of August.
Awesome.
Well, Karen, we're coming to a
close. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I enjoyed having you. Thank you so much for being here. We got to do this again, and I know we will.
Okay.
Because you got a lot to say, and you got a lot more in you that I know. I can't wait to have other people hear what you've got to share. So,
okay.
What are you going to do with the rest of your evening?
Oh, a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
That's the title
computer
of the show.
Stuff. And then I may just go take a nap.
Okay, that sounds like a winner. You take care, and I'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Okay,
thank
take care,
so,
sweetie.
So very much.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Love you, too. Okay, everyone, that was Karen Keys, and Karen Keys is our authority on quantum touch and distance healing, and it was good having her on the air, and I enjoyed her immensely. Next show will be the 7th, I believe, of September, and at that time I'm going to be doing a book review. And the book review, I'm hoping to do the book review. I'm still waiting for this author to send me some release information so that I can do our slideshow and advertise and let everybody know that she's going to be on the show. But the title of the book is Transcending the Razor Wire, and it's a true story, and it's a book of transformative power of love and how one woman's search for the divine led to an unlikely yet life-altering love affair. And she talks about doing prison ministry, and she writes about it, Transcending the Razor Wire. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight, everyone. I see everyone online. I want to tell you I'm so happy you're here listening to us, and keep me company. I enjoy it. I love having you on the air, and I love being here, and I'm going to be here as long as I possibly can. We'll see, okay? So with that, I'm going to say goodnight, everyone. This is Duchess signing out. I'm going to try. Maybe it doesn't want me to sign out. Yeah, there you go. I love it. It's wonderful. Have a good night, everyone. Be safe. Be blessed. Thank you.